happy Monday, everyone. This is your host, Justin Williams, and you're listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. Welcome to 2022. It's the end of January. It feels like I haven't been here in a millennia or maybe two, but I am definitely honored to be here today, to be your host, to be alive, to be awake. Anyone who's listening at home, in your car, at work, thank you for tuning in. This is a live show, and I will definitely provide you the opportunity to call in. I have so many questions for you guys. I'm so excited to be able to share what I have to share and talk about what we're going to talk about today, which is the arts. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about the gig economy. And I have a very special guest here with us. And I'm just super honored and super excited for her to join us. We recently connected over social media and parenthood and the arts, and we're both just disgustingly gorgeous people. People have heart attacks whenever they see us. So that's always good to have in common. And I am just honored to have her here. Her name is Leanna Chronister. She is an Anchorage-based homeschool mom, wife, photographer, author, and graphic designer. She has owned and operated several small businesses and community projects, including her current Alaska Leanna Art Studio and design business. Miss Leanna, how are you doing today?
I am doing so well. Thank you for such a sweet introduction. I am really good looking. So
there you go.
Spot on with that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Your husband can attest to that. You know, your whole family can. We're good on that.
You know what's funny? The other day, I was talking to these guys that I was working with, and my husband came up, and I introduced him, and they all were like, "What the heck? You didn't tell us you married a 10, Leanna." So then now all I've heard the last several days from my husband is how good looking he is. So.
Oh. Well, there you go. You have two disturbingly attractive people.
That's right.
Creating a union, creating a family. It's the American way. What can I say?
Yep, that's right.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so glad to have you on our show, and I'm thrilled to be able to talk about all the different things that I have to talk about, especially as entrepreneurs, as two people who own their own businesses. One thing that I've kind of seen here in Alaska in the past two or three years is a kind of a paradigm shift in the economy. And I believe a lot of this had to do with COVID, but this actually existed prior to that for sure, is this idea of the gig economy, and what it means to us as, you know, individuals who are trying to build something outside of the normal 9-to-5 public sector type jobs. And COVID sort of forced us to take a second gander at it, right? I don't know how serious people really took it or understood it, but now we have a ton, like a giant library of resources, including, you know, the Anchorage Chamber, all sorts of organizations in Anchorage that are making sure people are noticing and giving the chance to experience the benefits of the gig economy as it moves into the more mainstream, you know, overall macro level Alaska economy. And so, you know, building businesses, you know, as opposed to just working like within one or under one, it's definitely been extremely popular lately and definitely more feasible, you know, a more feasible way of establishing and maintaining an income while keeping one's sanity in the realm of, you know, parenthood in our cases, right? And all sorts of relationships. So tell us a little bit about like yourself and the history of your business.
Yeah, so I quite literally have always kind of been an entrepreneur at heart. And I think back, I was probably like 6 or 7, and I tried to open a restaurant in my backyard for neighborhood kids. And I like live in this like rundown ghetto druggy part of town, not here down in Oregon. And so I told my mom, I was like, hey, I'm going to open a restaurant in the backyard for the neighbor kids. And she just thought I was, you know, playing pretend until I actually started like cooking our food and giving it to neighbor kids. And then she's like, okay, hold up. You know, I'm like, no, I made $3, you know? So like literally that's just always been my mindset. And I think, you know, part of it, and this is something that I have found I connect with a lot of people over, a lot of people have this experience and this reason for being an entrepreneur is when you grow up on like this far end of poverty, every few dollars matter. Right? Right. Every time you have an opportunity to make a couple bucks, you know, you hardly even think about it. You're like, yes, 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 I'll do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so naturally, like I worked really hard doing random jobs from a really young age. I started cleaning houses for like a couple of families when I was 12, like 8 hours or eight hours for $8 an hour, like a day kind of thing. And I was not in school at the time. I didn't have the opportunity to go to school till I was older. And so that was just what I did, is I just took random jobs. You know, it's just when your brain's in development, I don't know, maybe my brain developed to be an entrepreneur because of those things, but that's just kind of how I have always viewed everything. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, later on, closer high school age, 16, 17, 18, I end up taking regular jobs, 9-to-5 jobs or after school jobs or whatever. And I got really frustrated really quickly because I was already at that age used to doing gig work, essentially. And I just kind of hated how it didn't matter if you were the hardest working person in the space. Mm-hmm. It didn't really matter. You were there to do a job. And as long as that job was done, you know, who cares what else you do? And I loathed that so much because I felt like I didn't have the room to show skills, to develop skills. Mm-hmm. I didn't have anybody appreciating, you know, how determined I was or how motivated I was on like an actual scale that mattered. You know, it's like, oh, good job, pat on the back. But it didn't leave room for me to do much. So instead, I decided, you know, I'm gonna just take as much information, as much in as I can from these experiences, mm-hmm. and apply them to, you know, future endeavors. And so I did that for a long time. I didn't graduate high school. I wasn't given that opportunity, really. I also did not go to college. I just worked a lot. I worked a lot right out of school age. I was working during school age. But and I think, you know, along the way, I'm working all these kind of like minimum wage jobs in an economy at the time where, you know, it was just kind of becoming this minimum wage you can't live off of kind of thing. And so I was working, you know, 12-hour days and six, 7 days a week, you know, at 18, trying to afford to live. And along that way, just because you feel like, especially when you're coming from these minimum wage positions or this kind of grunt work, that you feel like you take the job because you have to, mm-hmm. You start to kind of lose confidence in yourself and your abilities to do anything else.
Right.
And so for me, it was kind of like, it's kind of like this imposter syndrome, you know, which is this internal, like, believing that you're not as competent as others think that you are. So if you let them down, which you're definitely going to, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to be a huge step back. And so I think for me, that was a big hurdle to come out of doing this, you know, whatever job I can get to doing jobs for myself as a gig kind of thing,
right,
for other people and presenting myself as my own business. But I'm just so grateful that at some point, you know, I had different amounts of encouragement from different people that said, otherwise, you know, that you can do this. Mm-hmm. So I ended up, I became a mom at 19. I got married at 19, became a mom like right afterwards, like just before I turned 20. So young mom, and my husband came up from a completely different background from me. He had a college degree that he was finishing up when we got married, and, you know, kind of to me felt like every opportunity in the world. for him. Mm-hmm. And so, and we both, you know, wanted a family, and I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom because I just can't imagine not being around my kiddos. And so I decided to do that. And I feel like, you know, culturally, even though it's completely not true, we tend to think, and I'm glad our culture's kind of breaking out of this right now, but we kind of think of that stay-at-home mom position as being less valuable to the community.
Right.
Not necessarily just less valuable, like, oh, well, you know, you don't make any money for your household. Well, clearly, you know, you're doing a lot of things for your household that keep it functioning. But when we think about it in terms of value to the community, stay-at-home parents kind of, there's just this weird idea that, you know, they don't contribute.
Right.
You know, they're not as important. Their kids are. Don't get me wrong. Everybody knows kids are so important to the community. They're our future. But these moms or these stay-at-home dads, they're not as valuable to the community.
Right.
And I, like you said, I think this last couple of years, we've kind of seen a change with that, because now we've, almost all of us have had a turn to be a stay-at-home parent during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand how much not only goes into it in your home, but how much goes into your community when you're a stay-at-home parent.
Right.
And so that, I think that's been the hugest shift I've seen, you know, besides the obvious, yeah, there's a lot more, you know, small businesses popping up now because people are almost forced to take this route. But that when that happens, you start seeing more acknowledgement of these people's value within the community and not just within a workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think, I mean, at least for me, I'm finally like, yes, we're here.
Right.
You know, we're at this point where we're thinking about it in terms of, my work impacts the community, not my work impacts the place that I work and my paycheck.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I guess, you know, while I was a stay-at-home mom, I started doing work here and there, photo shoots, something I've always done since high school. I learned to do photography with film as a hobby and really enjoyed it. So to make, you know, a few extra bucks here and there, I'm doing photo shoots. And, you know, I've always, you know, been willing to do, oh, for a friend, I'll, you know, 100 bucks here, 50 bucks there, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And built a portfolio and ran with it. And so that was kind of the start of it. And then since then, I, again, just because this is my natural way of thinking and where my passion lies is doing projects for the community, I have done several other small businesses, one of which, we actually had to close because of COVID, which was unfortunate. But I had a subscription box of all locally made Alaska products called the Bear Box, which, by the way, I'm totally unaffiliated with them, but I'm going to promote them anyway. There's a new subscription box that's doing the same thing. They totally picked up where I left off, and I love it. It's called the Alaska Box. So if anyone's looking for something like that,
very cool.
They're out there again. Yeah, very cool. So I did that for a long time. And the main thing that I got out of that project was I got to meet other entrepreneurs. Because literally I'm filling this box with 4 to 6 different items from 4 to 6 different businesses every time we put out a box, and I'm making direct connections with all of those people. And, you know, talk about lighting fire to your soul. It's just, you meet all of these like-minded people.
Right.
And you're supporting each other, and you both do better because of that connection. You know, that's fire. It's exciting.
No doubt.
So, yeah. So that's kind of been, you know, a little bit of my journey of going into and being an entrepreneur and a parent and a wife and a homemaker and all of the other things. But yeah, I have done a lot of different random stuff. A lot of different random stuff.
For sure. I can absolutely attest to that. I still am doing 3,000 different jobs.
Right.
You know, and I think that a huge incentive, you know, to take some of the bolder risks that we have to do in order to do those things is to be able to monetize in some way something that we actually love to do. A lot of people, you know, they'll have a job, and there's nothing wrong with this, right? But traditionally, in the traditional sense, we'll get a job, we'll learn to love it. Right. Because we get good at it and we find value in things that we get good at. And then we go home and we paint pictures and we draw in our spare time. Right.
For sure.
As opposed to the reversal of that, where we go home and we draw and we create art and then we go back out and we sell it back to the community as a valuable asset. Right. I was at Goodwill the other day. You know, I had like four giant trash bags of just like clothes from me and clothes from my daughter that we're just not wearing anymore. And the lady in front of me, I saw her take out like two giant canvases of art. And I had such mixed feelings about that. I was also like super, super happy because there's nothing like going to Goodwill and finding something amazing like that.
Right.
But I was also like, why are you giving that away? Who are you giving it to and who's going to receive it? You know, and that is, for me, kind of thinking in that perspective is, I think it's a cool way to think, because, you know, people like you and people like me and people, you know, all over the city who have any sort of side hustle or are involved in the gig economy or are entrepreneurs or self-employed, whatever, to any degree, understand that, understand just how valuable we are. The thing is, is the rest, like you said, is the rest of the world going to see our value? Because once that happens, then we, the doors start to open up, you know, and we have to be extremely self-motivated for that to happen. And so I was looking, you know, on your website, alaskaleanna.com, which is your studio, basically, online. And so looking through your services, looking through the amazing photography work that, that you do.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? I'm really obsessed is a dangerous word, but.
So my brand is my name, Alaska Leanna, because that's who I am. Just straight up, that's me. I'm Alaska Leanna. I'm Leanna in Alaska. And I do photography, like you said, and I do design work. I'm an illustrator, a digital artist, and I do a lot of promotional content for other small businesses. In fact, I only work with other Alaska small businesses. I've done very, very few projects that are exceptions to that, because that's, again, where I see value in the community. And I know that creating a network of other small business owners is incredibly important for our community. And so that's kind of the lane that I've chosen to go with. So I do mostly promotional work, photography and design for other Alaska small businesses, and family stuff as well, like family photography and whatnot, but more in the business lane, especially lately. So yes, I do all that. I spend a good portion of my day, like you said, you go home and you draw. I spend pretty much my whole day drawing, and it's pretty fantastic. It's really fun. And when I need a creative break from my work, I do a drawing that is just for me. And so I'm drawing and I'm taking photos and I'm drawing. And then a year ago, almost exactly, and coming up on a year, I opened an art studio in the Turning and Arts building off of Spinard. A wonderful building, by the way. They only rent out to artists. And so just within the building, we've got a great community of different music teachers and art teachers. Wonderful space. So I rented a space from them. They have one large unit, like right in front. And I was like, that's the one I want. So I took that about a year ago and I turned it into a, half of it is a photography studio, and it kind of like all my photography stuff kind of just gets moved into the corner when I'm not using it. And the rest of it is 1,000 square foot space. The rest of the time is a community art studio. So my goal was, when I opened it, was to create a space for other gig workers, essentially artists, to have a venue that was affordable for them to use to teach music lessons, to teach an art class, to host a meeting with other artists mm-hmm. and collaborate. I wanted it to be a community art space, so I made it as cheap as I possibly could for yeah. other artists to come in, with the goal that, the space would essentially pay for itself, and then, I can use it when I need a studio space. And it's been amazing.
Yeah.
It's been absolutely amazing. And we're kind of at this point now. I have an employee that teaches preschool art classes, arts and crafts classes there every week. And then renters for the rest of the week when I'm not there for my own work. And I've had to start turning people down, which I hate doing with a passion.
Right.
I'm always like, well, maybe could you take just maybe this 15 minutes over here? And they're like, no.
mm-hmm.
But I wanted that for this area, for this space to be something that is accessible.
Right.
Especially to people who are new to the artist and gig economy, because it is so discouraging and so hard to get going when you don't have resources.
Mm-hmm.
And a huge resource that Alaska in general lacks, dare I say, is venue for
right.
people who do these things. And so, that was the goal. We've totally come to this point where we're outgrowing the space. And so now I'm looking at opening another studio, 3 times as big, 3,000 square feet in South Anchorage, to do the same thing, but at a bigger scale, have more spaces for the community to rent, to use for teaching, for art, for music. And really, my goal is to make this doable for not just the people who are using the space, right? Not just the artist who wants to teach the art class, but so they can price themselves accordingly and affordably for the families as well. Because when you have an artist who has to pay $50 an hour, $60 an hour to rent a space,
mm-hmm.
they have to make that up. And it's going to come out of the pockets of the people who they're trying to serve.
Right.
And then you have the issue that cuts out a whole lot of people that can't afford to just go to an art class for $60 for an hour art class, but really, really want to and would really benefit from that. So I'm working on that project right now. But the studio is, it has been a success in reaching that goal of community access.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna go even bigger here, Justin. We're gonna make it huge and make this something that is, I think, more than enough for the current economy,
yeah.
the current gig economy. With my personal hope and dream being that it causes that to grow, and then we need more space,
right.
and then, Lord willing, I'll have some competition. You guys start opening some studios around
now. There you go.
Because that would be amazing. That would be amazing.
Absolutely. And one of my favorite things that I love about this is that you said that you had a goal in mind. You know, no business can operate without one. You got to have a
sure.
goal in mind. And then,
sure.
Acquire the, the monetary or social resources that you need to make those dreams, those goals reachable and feasible. But what you're
yeah.
also doing is incentivizing everyone else to come through with their own goal, right? Their own incentives and their
yeah.
own motivations. And once that happens, you have an amazing momentum that pushes the entire movement forward,
exactly.
which is super, super exciting. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. We're going to take a really quick break. Everyone who is listening to us, this is Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Justin Williams, with Leanna Chronister as a lovely guest. Give us a call if you're in Anchorage at 907-550-8433. Statewide, the number is 1-888-353-5752. And feel free to email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. We'll be right back.
Listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. For more information about this episode, visit us online at alaskapublic.org. The
conversations you hear on Hometown Alaska are focused on the needs and voices of Alaskans, and the generosity of Alaskans brings them to you. Join your neighbors and become a member of your public radio station today.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I am your host, Justin Williams, talking with Mrs. Leanna Chronister about the arts and the gig economy. For everyone who's listening in, I have some questions for you. Feel free to call in, hit me with an email. I'll give you that information in just a minute. But for anyone that's listening, we are talking about the gig economy. So what does the gig economy mean to you? Has the pandemic incentivized you to start any home businesses? Do you think entrepreneurship supplements or challenges big business in Alaska? I'd love to hear your thoughts. This is a topic that, you know, affects everyone or has the ability to. So feel free to join in the conversation. Give us a call if you're in Anchorage at 907-550-8433, statewide at 1-888-353-5752, or feel free to give us an email with those lovely typing fingers at hometown@alaskapublic.org. Leanna, thank you so much for being here with me. And, you know, speaking of COVID, during that time when it really got as bad in 2020, for me personally, that was the moment where, you know, I had a 9-to-5. I got let go from that 9-to-5, you know, and then I realized all the side stuff I was just doing for fun, plus at the time homeschooling my daughter, this was an opportunity to change everything. I could have just went and got another 9-to-5, right? And there's nothing wrong with that, but it wasn't for me, and I didn't think it was my calling. It was just there were two the negatives outweighed the positives, right? And so when I decided to stay home and do the things that I'm currently doing now, Monday through Friday, it was the scariest thing in the world. But without that push, right?
Yeah,
that COVID push, I don't know where I'd be today. And so I wanted to ask you the same thing, just like I asked the audience. Did the pandemic positively or negatively affect your creativity or your business plans? Like, did you see a light spark, or did it dim out a little bit? Like, talk about your experience about that.
Well, just like you said, for you, both, really. I don't see it so much as like this is a positive and negative, but that is just different.
Yeah.
Right? We have to be adaptable to our circumstances. So there's always going to be positive things going on for your business. There's always going to be negative things going on for your business, and at different scales, right? They're both sliding scales.
Right.
And when they're at completely different, points than you're used to, maybe the change itself feels like the negative, but it's really just a test of your adaptability. So it's different. It's just different. And I think in hindsight, I can say that when, you know, it's not so difficult to be navigating how to adapt to the different,
right,
as it first did. But I definitely don't think that now looking back that it affected my business in a negative way. And I think generally, like, entrepreneurs are good at those two things.
Oh, yeah.
You are an entrepreneur. Your two specialties are innovation and flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are the things that make you an entrepreneur. And if you
absolutely
can't take a fall and get back up, or, you know, make a quick 180-degree change for the benefit of your business or your family, then you can't succeed long term, because there's always going to be change.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if anything, COVID really solidified that belief in me and forced me to test those things within myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that that's a bad thing. And I think sometimes when we get really comfortable with what we're doing, we really need to be tested like that to grow.
Mm. Sometimes that's the only way to grow, right?
Absolutely. Yes. For trial, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we have Mr. Brad on the line from Anchorage, Alaska. How are we doing today, Brad? What you got?
Doing great. Just wanted to say that I've really enjoyed the conversation you've had with Leanna. I've worked with Leanna on a couple of projects here in Anchorage over the past year or two, I would say. And it's really great to hear her story as an entrepreneur and a business owner and just a general champion in that regard.
So no, thank you, Brad. That's awesome. I really enjoyed working with Brad. And actually, I'm hoping he and I pretty soon are going to do some more painting classes. So, if you're interested in splattering paint on a wall, Brad is the guy. He is the guy. I make a huge mess. It's a lot of fun.
Right on, guys. Well, thank you so much, Brad, for calling in and giving some love to Miss Leanna. I do think one thing I have noticed too, Leanna, is like just like since we've been Facebook friends for approximately 3 seconds, I've seen how many, like, you are an amazing networker.
Yeah, thank you.
You know so many people. It's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And we have so many mutual friends now. A lot of the things that I've done as far as, you know, being an entrepreneur, as far as, you know, doing these businesses, like, you know, from home, my own time for the past 2 years, some have generated, you know, monetary revenue. But others, it's more of a social revenue, right? We get to know people and we get to serve people and oddly enough, get served by people.
Absolutely.
You know, which is really, really powerful when the things that you and I do, like you mentioned earlier, when we find the value in it, but also when other people find the value in it as well. And it's, I think, a very special thing to be able to do something like this in Alaska. You know, we are, you know, reasonably isolated, right? And I've said this on, you know, previous shows that I've hosted here. But Alaska is always playing the catch-up game when it comes to, like, social trends and even economic trends, right? Like, food trucks is a great example. Like, we were so late to that conceptually. Co-working spaces, which we see everywhere now, we totally just – we didn't catch on to that, right?
Yeah.
Till years later, you know? Yeah. And we catch up eventually, but we always seem to be like a little bit late to the game instead of innovating like our own trends right off the bat. So what is the significance of the gig economy in general, like here in Anchorage to you specifically? Like what does it mean to you to be able to have the opportunity to get in front of a trend, right? Before, you know, because otherwise we just kind of sit down and we'll get it 4 or 5 years later. When it's already been popping off in, you know, in California or whenever. But what does it mean to you to kind of be on the foreground of that? Because I feel like you're kind of on the front lines.
Yeah. Thank you, by the way. That's a compliment. First, I kind of want to address that what you're just talking about as far as gaining, you know, community, because that's part of this. Yeah. And obviously, like you said, I'm an extremely passionate entrepreneur when it comes to the community. So I would say I am a passionate, community oriented entrepreneur. Okay. That's a specific lane that I've chosen here. But I think what I've realized, again, I moved to Alaska 10 years ago, just over 10 years ago. So I didn't grow up here. I came here from Oregon. And culture shock galore, it's so different. But what I realized is this, like, underestimated foundation in Alaska and in the small business that I think I just had maybe the luck or the intuitiveness to pick up on this part of Alaska's glory and what makes Alaska great is that the people here and the power of our community, what we accomplish with isolation. And that sets us apart. And I think, I mean, and this is just from my perspective, so the reality could totally be different. But from my perspective, I think that this is one of the reasons why Alaska specifically not only has the opportunity, but this innate ability to prosper in a global pandemic mm-hmm. is because we have this ability of coming together as a community under isolation. We've done it. We do it all the time. Right. And this is just a more extreme example of what we're already used to. Mm-hmm. And so we've got this. We're good at that. Okay. So yes, we're behind in a lot of things, but Alaska has this one really significant, special thing about us is that we do okay and beyond okay under isolation. And we almost serve as, I think, a beacon of hope that the community and businesses mm-hmm. can overcome this kind of hardship and come out 100 times stronger. I spent 3 months in Oklahoma years ago, and my husband was in job training there. And again, another culture shock, because the thing that I noticed is driving through Oklahoma City is it's all chains. Everything is corporate. Everything's a chain.
Right.
You have to really dig and look for a good local restaurant. And here, that's not how it is.
That's so true.
It's the total opposite. You know this. You're a foodie. It's totally the other way around. And that is unique to us. So, yeah, we are behind in a lot of other areas. And hopefully we can catch up and get ahead. In these coming years, but we do have these other assets that are super, super awesome mm-hmm. about Alaska. And just recently under this crushing pandemic, have we really got to exercise that as a state?
Mm-hmm.
We are behind. And again, moving forward and to kind of address, why I think we're behind. In these areas is one, because our community has different needs and our city has different needs than a lot of the other lower 48 cities do.
Absolutely.
So we address needs that are present in a different way than they do because we have different resources. We have different needs.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot of creative problem solvers to curate these lower 48 solutions to fit to Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
We have all these food trucks. Yes, finally, we have food trucks. I have been waiting for this moment my whole life.
Absolutely.
To be able to have these food truck things. But you're right, it is this new thing, whereas in, Portland, every two blocks, there's, a food truck garden.
Right.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Everywhere, which is great. But here, it's cold. Who wants to be out there sitting like that, in their truck? So we had to create solutions for that, to curate this lower 48 thing to fit Alaska.
Right.
So it really takes a different kind of creative problem solver to make things fit to our unique situation. And then I also think because a lot of other large cities have resources that are not necessarily community backed, but they're government or corporation backed.
Mm-hmm.
That also makes a difference because Alaska's not as like that. We're not, you're not seeing as many things sponsored by these big, large corporations and chains here. You're seeing things that when things actually happen here, it's a community effort or a small business effort almost every time.
Right.
So if you have food trucks, and you see, over at Coots all summer, they have the food truck lunch thing going on during summer.
Yeah, the Spinard Food Truck Carnival, yeah.
Yeah. But who is that put on by? Who are the people who are actually making that happen? And if you look back and you trace to who's doing it, it's not this big name corporation.
Right.
It's the people in the community. And that's something that is also different about Alaska is it takes our community to do things and accomplish things like that. Whereas a lot of other places, they have this government or corporation-backed
mm-hmm.
Resources. So we have a different situation in general, and it makes things challenging because we can't use the same business model or community model as other places to achieve the same thing.
Right.
So I think that's the biggest, reason why it feels like we're really behind when we're trying to take things and fit them into a completely different
form.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we aren't the same as everyone else. You know.
Not at all.
And I think part of the problem, I think, is that we want to be.
We really
sometimes
do.
I think we go through seasons of it, right? I don't think that, but like when we got food trucks, for instance, of course, that was a really big thing for me, you know. And I start to look at like sort of the innovations. I travel to Oregon at least once a year because my heart is there. Some of my closest friends that I grew up with now live there, so I like to go there and I like to observe their food scene. I like to observe the economy and the entrepreneurship and the co-working spaces and just the farms, everything, right? And so when I come back up here, I feel like, oh, all of a sudden I feel like Anchorage is sort of like trying to be like Diet Portland, you know, with its fashion trends and with its, and I'm like, when we take a step back and we realize who we are and why we do the things that we do, we realize that it is okay to be a little bit behind. Sometimes we're ducking and dodging trends that aren't going to serve us in the long run, right?
Absolutely.
And entrepreneurs like we have to see this. It's a heightened responsibility that a lot of chains don't have to worry about, that a lot of people just don't really need to worry about. Unfortunately, it can be a burden, but it can also be a blessing when you have the type of strength that you have and the type of creativity that you have and the type of momentum that you get when you get excited and when you get passionate about these kinds of things, from art studios to co-working spaces. And I love seeing that around town. I love, going to Barnes and Nobles, and I love seeing, the Lusac Library, right? Like when they reopened after all the renovations and things like that, or Writer's Block on Spinard, right? Like all of these places. And that's not to say anything about what's going on downtown at the museum or First Fridays. Like there are just so many places that exemplify that sort of strength and momentum and that push forward that you and I want to continue to see in the city, and that really excites me. And I definitely want to continue talking about that, but we're going to take a short break. Everyone, if you're listening, just tuning in, this is Justin Williams hosting this episode of Hometown Alaska with our special lovely guest, Leanna Chronister. Feel free to give us a call if you're in Anchorage at 907-550-8433. Statewide number is 1-888-353-5752. Or give us an email about the topic if it interests you at hometown@alaskapublic.org. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. You can find Hometown Alaska on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I am your host, Justin Williams. I almost said I am your guest because Leanna, you're the guest, but you could easily be the host.
Thank you.
I'm here with our guest, Leanna Chronister, and we're talking about the gig economy and the arts here in our beautiful hometown of Anchorage, Alaska. Everyone that's listening, that's tuning in, I would love your thoughts. I'd love your input. Are you an artist that has seen your work in museums or at restaurants or at cafes? Do you think that artistry and entrepreneurship complements and supplements, or does it challenge big business in Alaska? And what can we do to make sure the two consistently supplement one another? Feel free to give us a call if you have any thoughts on that. 907-550-8433 if you're in Anchorage, 1-888-353-5752 statewide, or give us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. Leanna, you have talked to me about what you have done and what you're doing. Everything from, your photography to one of my favorite things, on your website, you have a sober life gallery. I've been blessed with the opportunity to host an online show called first taste through Recover Alaska. And so every couple of months, you know, I get with a panel with a bartender and, you know, three other people, and we make mocktails live, sip them, talk about, you know, social issues, you know, depending on, you know, the month.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic thing to be able to talk about that, to be able to, you know, celebrate sobriety and, you know, bring an awareness to sober, curious lifestyles for anyone who wants to, you know, stop drinking or just drink less, right? Or just celebrate someone who is celebrating their own sobriety. So I think the fact that that's a part of your life and your journey and that you've been able to integrate that into your artistry, into your business, is a beautiful thing. AlaskaLeanna.com has a Sober Life Gallery section, and I scroll through it and I see faces that I know, faces that obviously beautiful photography done by her. And it's just such a cool way to be able to implement something so personal and be transparent, right? And to celebrate something so beautiful and so powerful. And so you've talked a lot about what you're doing, but let's talk about what is to be done. What do you have in mind in the future?
Well, I work a lot from experience. Yeah, we all kind of do, right? And so for me, you know, like I said at the beginning of this interview, you know, talking about how I became an entrepreneur to begin with and how I grew up. But I'm also, you know, a mom and I'm also sober. And so there's a lot of things that I experience where you're going through your life and you're like, hey, it would be really wonderful if we had such and such resource for this.
Yeah.
And so the Sober Life event was kind of because of that. I don't drink anymore. And I, you know, connect with a lot of other people in the area who are in the same boat as me. They and they need connection. They need resources. And I recently on Facebook, you know, as we seem to catch pretty much everything that's going on in the lower 48 on Facebook, there's this article going around about the sober bar in Denver. It's like a sober club bar place. They make mocktails, and that's what they do. It's in Denver, Colorado. Couldn't tell you what it's called off the top of my head, but I saw that and I was like, yeah, because that makes total sense. Everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people who are used to that scene really struggle to pick up their life after they decide to become sober because all of their friends are in a different scene now.
Right.
Everything that they're used to doing on a weekend, gone. You need new hobbies. You need new places to go. Everything. And it feels like you're not just giving up a substance. It feels like you're giving up your life. Because you have to. You have to change everything when you have an addiction.
Right.
And you're trying to get over it, right? It's an old lifestyle change. But we don't have a lot of resources for that outside of treatment programs. And so when I put on Sober Life as a first Friday event, and then obviously I have my gallery still up on my website, last summer, and I met downtown and in an alleyway, met some interesting characters that weren't signed up for photo shoots while I was there, but, I got to meet with just some amazing people and hear their stories and have this one-on-one time with each one of them. And it was absolutely magical. And then back in May of last year, before I did the Sober Life one, I did something equivalent for child abuse survivors. So adults who have survived through child abuse, they got to tell their stories. And we did a photo project with them as well and a walkthrough gallery. And it was super powerful and wonderful and so many, like, happy tears, really.
Right.
And it's such a... these issues that really just don't get talked about. And then there's no resources for these people to connect because nobody talks about it.
Exactly.
So, I recently just did, it was this last Friday, in fact, helped sponsor a sober Christian artist that came in. We had some other artists too that came in via video.
But two local Christian rappers who are both sober, share their story of sobriety, came and did a show at Main Event, which is right behind Mr. Prime Beef on Old Seward. Amazing restaurant. Go check him out. And so the idea of kind of being that we need more things for people to do, especially here, that are fun, that have that same vibe, that, you know, you're going to go and you're going to listen to music and you're going to hang out with friends and it's chill. You can dance if you want. But there isn't the social pressure of alcohol being involved.
Right.
So I plan to continue to do those. By the way, I am collaborating with a lot of other musical artists and DJs in the area. So you will be seeing lots more sober events coming up at various venues with various performers. And it's I'm hoping that it just becomes something that is such a regular thing that I no longer have to be the one to facilitate it. The venues and restaurants do. That's the goal, right? To pick up this trend where they see, oh, this actually works, because I couldn't tell you how many restaurants I have asked about doing stuff like this. I'm like, well, we make all of our money in the evening selling alcohol at these events. So I'm like, okay, but give it a shot. You know,
it's
hard to convince them because they haven't seen it be a success yet. And so if I can show them like, hey, look, we can do this. There's a community who wants this desperately. Then it'll take off as just something that people do.
Absolutely. I'm excited to be able to just to like hear your passion and listen to you share your passion. And, you know, one thing that I've learned, I'll say this about myself. I can't speak for anyone else, but about me, there are some things in my life that I cannot survive, that will not survive, if there's no passion.
Yeah.
Right. Some things I can do mindlessly, like a task or, you know, clocking in and out of a particular job you may not like. Right. Even with entrepreneurship, we face burnout. We face all sorts of walls and things like that. But there are some things that I just can't do if there is no passion. And for me, entrepreneurship is one of them. So when I'm doing a food review and, you know, people are commenting about how animated I am, it's because I'm passionate about it. You know, if I just sit there and I'm bored, I'm not going to want to do another video after that, you know? So, you know, and being here on the radio is just such an amazing blessing. Being able to have this gig is crazy great, to be able to talk to people like you, you know, because I'm surrounding myself with people who have the same visions as we do and who have the same values and find the value in the things that we do and the accomplishments and the effort that we put in to really make a difference for Alaska. And so I'm exceptionally proud of you for everything that you've done, for everything I'm seeing you do. And for everything that you're going to do. Oh, you're freaking welcome. Like, it's such an honor to know you and to see the work that you've done. It's extraordinary. We have, you know, and the more that you do stuff like this, the more you see that other people are doing stuff like this. And when I first started doing entrepreneurship, stay at home dad kind of work by means of podcast related, you know, things like that. One of the first things I learned, and this applies to me, it doesn't apply to everyone, but what I took as a very powerful lesson, especially as someone who has struggled with, you know, feeling like an imposter, feeling like he doesn't belong, feeling like there's actually nothing valuable he can bring to the table that someone hasn't already done, is that there is no such thing, and this is really a mindset thing, but there's no such thing as competition, only collaboration.
Absolutely.
Right? So you see other people doing what you do, other photographers, other artists, and you cheer them on. And you give them advice and you receive advice from them. And so my final question for you for today's episode is, what advice do you have for other entrepreneurs or other people out there that want to start something, even if it's just a side hustle, just to keep their minds busy and generate, you know, a supplementary income or whatever the case may be? What advice do you have for anyone out there who's either A, doing it, or B, wanting to do it?
I think there's two really important things, and we've kind of mentioned both of them. One is community. Mm-hmm. And you talked a bit about how, you know, when you're an entrepreneur and you are doing things for the community, you're not just gaining monetary wealth, but you're gaining wealth in connection,
right?
So you're receiving from, and you're giving to these people, and then you're receiving from these people, and you're giving to these people, and mm-hmm. it's this wonderful cycle. And to me, that is the definition of what a community is. Because, a lot of people think, like, a community is just, like, these people that you live close to. But that's not at all really what a community is. Mm-hmm. You know, that's maybe that's a neighborhood, or, your proximity does not equal community.
That's
the best way to say that. And so, the very first thing I always tell people is to plug in. You need to find your people.
Mm-hmm.
And as an entrepreneur, you know, you want to be like, I'm the boss. I can do this. Here's the reality is that we can do it all together, but you might not be able to do all of it by yourself if you're rejecting help because you're afraid of competition, you're afraid of rejection. You have imposter syndrome, so you think people are going to think that you're really competent and you're going to let them down or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Those things are extremely toxic to entrepreneurship. So you have to have this understanding of what community actually is, and you have to be willing to plug into it. And that is the give and the take of what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the way that you do it is you start giving.
Mm.
As soon as you start giving, then you'll start receiving those things as well. You don't start by taking.
Wow.
So give into your community, find your people, start serving them. And as soon as you do that, you're on the road to a successful venture, whether it be, you know, you just want to make connections for your family, you want to make connections for yourself, or you want business connections. Just start serving the people that you want to be associated with.
That's some powerful advice. I mean, that's powerful, you know, in general, but specifically for what we're talking about, that's very, very beautiful. Liana, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with me. Everyone who's listening, this is Hometown Alaska. I really appreciate you guys tuning in, listening to me. You can find more on Liana at alaskaliana.com. And this wraps up today's show. I'm your host, Justin Williams. Our audio engineer today is Tobin Shelby. Have a blessed Monday, and we'll see you next time.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.